tonight as we lift up all the people with all of the needs. Lord, especially for that such a kind lady who just had that baby. Oh, Lord, who needs women to drop by and just love her and pray for her and minister to her. Bring dinner for the family, Lord. I pray that many just rise up tonight for that. We pray, oh, Lord, for Ronald and Wynette Arms there in the hospital and the rehab center, just being with them. And, Lord, I just pray that they do get into assisted living because they need that so much. And for Ed Townsend in the hospital, Lord, for just touching his body. For my brother Wally, all of his family, Lord, the kids, and just be with them. And, Lord, tonight, for your wonderful word, your wonderful presence, there's nothing greater than that. Now, we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. And the church says, amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Joshua in the Old Testament. We're going to cover chapters 3 and 4 and talk about the stones in the Jordan and the stones of Gilgal. The book of Joshua is all about possession. And it's about taking what God has promised. And we take everything that God has given us, we take it by faith and appropriate it by faith. Unbelief always says to sit still. Unbelief always says go back and be safe. But faith says, no, I'm going to reach forward and possess what God has given us. So finally, after all this time, after they leave, remember the 400 years of bondage and in Egypt and so forth, can you believe it's finally time, after all the books we've covered up to this chapter, now it's time for the children of Israel to enter into the land of promise. And that's what they're going to do tonight. 40 long years of waiting. Now, chapters 3 and 4, you can't separate those. They go together, the crossing of the Jordan and the remembering of this great event tonight. It's important that we remember something, that Israel, just like us, really, we, you know, we've crossed over, they crossed over into a new future. Now listen carefully, with nothing but the promise of Almighty God. Amen. Oh, and that's how we cross over too. We trust his promises. We know that they're true. Beginning tonight in verse 1, chapter 3. Then Joshua rose early in the morning and they set out from the Acacia Grove. Remember, that was the place where they're encamped at, or the encampment. And they came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they crossed over. So the spies have come back from spying out the land there in Jericho and so forth with Rahab. And they came back, and remember what they reported unto Joshua there in chapter 2, verse 24, the last verse. And it says, they said to Joshua, oh, truly the Lord has delivered all the land into our hands. For indeed, all the inhabitants of the country are faint-hearted because of us. And now Joshua is getting ready to lead the nation. Some people say it was only 1 million people. Others say that there was 2 million plus. I don't know, but there were, I know, at least 1 million people. And here they go. They're 7 miles to the Jordan River. And verse 15 tells us that the Jordan is now at flood stage. So it's overflow its banks. And I'm sure that they wondered, all of them, saying, you lead us right up to the edge of the Jordan River. How in the world are we going to cross over? And so it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, the priests, the Levites, bearing it, or literally carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it, go after the ark. So the Ark of the Covenant, now, you know what it means. We've studied that out. It represents, of course, the presence of Almighty God, his very divine presence. And it's mentioned now for the first time in Joshua. There in the Ark of the Covenant that contained the two tablets, which were the Ten Commandments, the Aaron's rod that budded and so forth, and the golden jar or pot of manna, and then the mercy seat on top. And what you saw there would be the blood, because the blood that was shed was poured out on the mercy seat and so forth. The ark was always carried on poles by the Kohathites, and it could not be touched. Remember, whoever touched it would die. And so as they're going this way, it says, and yet there shall be a space between you and it, meaning the Ark of the Covenant. And I'm talking about a lengthy space. Look at this. About 3,000 cubits by measure. That's a healthy distance, wouldn't you say? That's 3,000 feet. That's nearly a mile. And so God says, no, you need to stay away from it. Don't even come near it. Look at it, but don't come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go. This is the only way they could do it. For you've not passed this way before. You know, the only way of crossing the Jordan to go into the land of promise, they had to follow God. They had to follow the Ark of the Covenant. And it was a new path. It wasn't some well-worn path or like that, because God is taking them and leading them where they'd never been before. So what does God say to do? He says, and Joshua said to the people, now consecrate yourselves or sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. To them, to sanctify themselves, remember, was to wash their clothing, to wash their bodies and so forth, to prepare to cross over. It's a time for a brand new beginning. There's nothing better than a new beginning with God. Amen. You know, aren't you glad that His mercies are new each and every morning? No matter what you face, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you feel, God is always there to strengthen us and so forth. And so they're going now where they've never gone before, and they're going to do what they've never, ever done before as well. So tomorrow the Lord is going, it says, going to show wonders, or literally amazing things. And that one of the amazing things that God is going to do, besides all the miracles, God now, for the very first time since they had left the land of Egypt, He's going to lead them in a brand new way. Look at verse 6. So Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. You know, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, and so forth. How did the Lord lead the children of Israel? A cloud by day, pillar of fire by night. Now the Lord is leading them a new way. He says, I want you to follow the Ark. That's, you know, the Ark represents our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And only Joshua, only Jesus can get you through. And so, and the same thing with us. You know, what's so wonderful? We don't have to figure out which way to go. All we have to do in our life is simply follow the Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 8:12? He says, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Jesus said in Mark 1:17, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. In Luke 9:23, remember what Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That's all we have to do, is follow the Lord. And sometimes I think we feel that following the Lord is so difficult, but it's not. It's the way to life. It's the way to victory. Everywhere God leads us, everywhere Jesus leads us, He leads us to victory. Amen? That doesn't mean we're not going to have warfare. It doesn't mean that your kids won't need braces, okay? You understand? It means that we live in a fallen world, but He's the only one that can get us through this fallen world. Now, with all that in mind, He said there in verse 7, and the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to make you great. What a word from God. Or exalt you. It literally means to make you great. It says, I'm going to do it in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, I will be with you. And when we get over to chapter 4, verse 14, we're going to find out that's exactly what the Lord did. He fulfilled His promise here. But don't miss this verse. Because see, Joshua's claims to power, to success, to greatness, all of these things God just said, He hasn't done anything to accomplish it on His own. It's all because God said what? I will begin to make you great. It all belongs to the Lord. What did Jesus tell us in John 15:5? He said, without me, you can do nothing. Boy, isn't that a true word? We try to do so much without the Lord. We try to cross over this Jordan or that problem, climb this mountain, go through this circumstance. And the fact is, all we need to do is say, Lord, I can't do it, but with you, I can do anything. Amen. And that's what that's all about. So God equips us and He empowers us. And you shall command the priest who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you've come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you. And that, look what He will do. He will do without fail. He will drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and all the otherites. Amen. God says, so Joshua, you know, all those people who trust in dead lifeless, false idols. All these seven nations, God says, I'm going to drive them out. You know, isn't it amazing that, you know, the people who worship so much today, so many things today, but there's only one God. There's only one true living God, and he's our Father. How wonderful to know that. So here God says, I'm going to drive them out. Have you learned in your life that you don't defeat your enemies? That you let God is already, you let God defeat them and then go in and take the land. The battle is the Lord's. And he just says here, you know, he's not calling them to defeat their enemies. He says, I'll defeat them. You know, that's why Paul told the church at Ephesus in chapter 6, verse 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Not be strong in our own intelligence, and nothing wrong with being intelligent, but, you know, our own wisdom and our own strength and our own self-sufficiency. No, he said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. That is strength that you possess tonight. Whether you use it, realize it or not, you have it right now if you're in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, Joshua, well, he was a true leader. You know what I love about him? Is that, see, he didn't exalt himself. He exalted the living God. And so our God tonight, he's much more than just the God of Israel. And he's much more than just the true and living God. Look what he is in verse 11. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant, meaning the presence of God again. He says, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. That word means literally there in the Hebrew, master. The master of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. I'm going to ask you a question. Is that a faith builder? Boy, I look at that and I say, oh, the Lord of all the earth. Does that mean that the Lord of all the earth, does that mean that he can, oh, that's so pleasant when I can do that. That the Lord of all the earth, he does whatever he wants? Whatever he pleases? Can anyone stop him? No. Listen, no one can stop him in Canaan. No, he is God. He's the God, the master over all the earth. You know, the earth, Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and all who inhabit it. Everyone who has breath, everything on the earth belongs to God. I think he can handle our problems. Amen? I think he can handle our enemies. You know, there is a secret side of me, is that whenever I have those that say come against me, and I know that they're wrong. Now, if they're right, I say you're right. But if you're wrong, I don't necessarily tell them that they're wrong, but I just sit there and look at them and I say, you're getting ready to be squished. Squished. What's the word? Hello. You're digging yourself a pit, and you're going to fall into it. Believe me. Because, see, no weapon formed against me will prosper because I belong to the Lord. You can't attack me from the rear because the Lord is my rear guard. You can't attack me from the front because I have on the armor of God. And not only that, I have the shield of faith that'll quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, Mr. Devil. You see what I mean? Oh, we don't have to fight. All we have to do is stand. Stand in the truth of God's word. And now, therefore, take for yourselves in verse 12, 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for every tribe, from every tribe. And it'll come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, look what'll happen now, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, and that the waters that come down from upstream, they shall stand up as a what? Heap. When's the last time you used that word? Not hemp, heap. You know what I mean? You understand? No, as a heap. And so it was when the people set out from their camp to cross over the Jordan with the priest bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And as those who bore the Ark came to the Jordan and the feet of the priest who bore the Ark dipped in the water or the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all of its banks during the whole time of harvest. So we know from chapter 4, verse 19 that this is a time of harvest. It's the March, April, okay? And so most of the year, the Jordan is only like 100 feet wide. But during the flooding season, the harvest time, it's over a mile wide, okay? Think of that. And verse 16, that the waters which came down upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away at Adam, the city that is beside Zeratan. So the waters that went down for the Sea of Arabah, the Salt Sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over opposite Jericho. Have you ever seen water pile up? Have you ever seen a wall of water? How far, you know, listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, here's what I always like about the Lord. And this is something I know that's happened to you. And it, God, will, I believe, always does this. You know, when we set out to do something, you know, we're full of the energy and faith and all of that. But you know, there's times when we need a visual. There's times when God gives us a visual and he does so to increase our faith. Can you imagine 2 million people standing there on the banks of the Jordan? It's a mile wide, and all of a sudden it's cut off and it goes upstream. The water of the Jordan goes all the way upstream, 18, 20 miles away, all the way to the city of Adam. Would that get you going? And I'm going, Lord, this is so incredible. And you know, the Lord, when he does, when he divides a Jordan for us, it's not so he tosses us to the lions, man. He divides it so we can go in and possess the land and take it. And I look at that and I'm so thankful for the Lord and how he gives us visuals in our life. And just when you think that you don't know how to go on, or there's not enough money at Calvary, I'm not saying that that's the truth, or not enough, that's a pretty good word, that must have been the Holy Spirit, and you know, or not enough at LNFI, or what, or not enough in your back pocket, you understand. God always comes through. It may not be what you think you need, but it is what you need. Because God knows exactly what we need. He never, ever will fail us. Never. He'll never leave you without support. And if he does, he's teaching us something. You understand? He chastens those that he loves. If you're not being corrected in your life, then maybe you don't belong to the Lord. And I say, oh God, you're so good. And so all the people, he says, listen, I'm the living God. You see those waters? I've given you a clear path to go all the way across. And look at verse 17. And then the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord God stood on what? Dry ground in the midst, right in the middle of the Jordan. And look what happened. And all of Israel, all 2 million people, or how many there were, they crossed over on dry ground until all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan. So right there, finally, they are finally in the promised land. Man, God is glorified and Joshua's being exalted and Israel's being encouraged with a visual, and the Canaanites, oh, they know they're coming and they are melting. Their hearts are melting from fear. Look at chapter 4 now. It says, and it came to pass when all the people had completely crossed over the Jordan that the Lord spake unto Joshua saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from every tribe, and command them, saying, take for yourselves 12 stones from here, out of the midst or the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the priest, or the exact place where the priest stood firm, their feet stood firm. Now you carry them over with you and leave them in the lodging place where you lodge tonight. We'll learn in a minute that's going to be Gilgal. And then Joshua called the 12 men whom he appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over the Jordan. In other words, I want you to go back now to the middle of the Jordan before the ark of the Lord, your God, in the midst of the Jordan. And each one of you, you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign or a miracle, a wonder among you, that when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean? And I'm going to answer that question, what they mean to us, in just a little bit. It says, then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant and of the Lord. And when it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be a memorial, a reminder, if you will, to the children of Israel forever. A reminder of God's incredible power. And the children of Israel did so just as Joshua commanded and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan as the Lord spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. So these 12 men, which represents the 12 tribes of Israel, they go back after the children of Israel had crossed all the way over. There's the Ark of the Covenant. There's the priest and the Levites. There's no water. It's backed up 20 miles away. And they gather up stones that had not been seen before. And they put them on their shoulders and they carry them 8 miles all the way to Gilgal. And that's where they place them and set them down. Now listen, that's where they're going to camp that night. And this would be the first memorial, if you will. These heap of stones would be the first memorial built in the land of Canaan by the children of Israel. And Gilgal, as we'll learn later, will become like the center of operations or the command post for Joshua. It's located about 2 miles away from Jericho. That's going to fall in a couple of chapters. Now, Joshua does something that is so strange now in verse 9. And we're not told that the Lord God commanded him to do it, but I believe in my heart that God did. And if God didn't, maybe Joshua asked the Lord if he could do it, because there's a specific reason which we'll make application later on. But let's look at verse 9. Look at what he did. And then Joshua, he himself, look, he set up 12 stones where? Right in the middle of the dried up Jordan River. In the exact place where the priest who bore the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are here to this day. I'll come back to this verse in a moment. So the priest who bore the Ark, they stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord God had commanded Joshua to speak to the people, according to all that Moses had commanded Joshua. And the people hurried, and they crossed over. And then it came to pass, when all the people crossed over, that the Ark of the Covenant and the priest crossed over in the presence of the people. So the priest and the Ark were the last ones, the first ones in, and they were the last ones out until all the people were protected, until they crossed over. And the men of Reuben and Gad, half the tribe of Manasseh, look how they crossed over now, very important. They crossed over armed, prepared for war, armed before the children of Israel, as Moses had spoken to them, about 40,000, and they were prepared for war. They crossed over before the Lord for battle to the plains of Jericho. Only the men of war there from Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh, only those crossed over the Jordan into the promised land. The rest of their families and the older men who were too old to go and fight, they remained there on the east side of the Jordan. You know, and I look at that and I wonder how in the world they must have felt. There they saw all the people, all say 2 million cross over, and there is Gad and Reuben and half the tribe of Manasseh. The ones that are left, except the guys that went to fight, okay? And then the Jordan fills back up, and they're cut off. I mean, do you think there might have been somebody over there that said, I wish I'd have gone in? Amen. You know what? But no, they wanted to stay on that side. Remember why? Because they had much livestock, and they loved that part of the land. It was very fertile and so forth. And they settled for less. They stopped short of what God wanted for them, and so they stayed there. But, you know, we have to cross over into our Jordans that God gives us, and we have to cross over armed and ready for battle. Amen. Amen. And the thing is that we need to know tonight is, you know, you can't take the land unless you go into the land. That's why we're going over there. Amen. Amen. That's why we're going to love people and bring the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. And, you know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:14, it says, now thanks be to God who always, not sometimes, who always leads us in victory or in triumph. Listen, every place that God is leading this church and leading you, no matter how difficult or easy, if you're following the Lord, listen, he is leading us always in victory. Amen. Amen. Oh, how we need to always remember that. That even tomorrow, if whatever your difficult circumstance might be, you need to say to yourself, I say to myself as well, you know, I'm headed toward victory. I'm not headed toward defeat. And the reason I'm not is because I'm following the Lord. And that's exactly what we need to believe in our heart. Verse 14, and on that day, the Lord made great or exalted Joshua in the sight of all of Israel. And they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. So remember what God had promised now has now come to pass. And then the Lord spake unto Joshua saying, oh, command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. And command the priest who bear the ark of the testimony to come up from the Jordan. And Joshua therefore commanded the priest saying, come up from the Jordan. And it came to pass when the priest who bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord had come from the midst of the Jordan and the soles of the priest's feet touched the dry land that the waters of the Jordan returned to their place and overflowed its banks as before with one exception. There was 12 stones, a memorial that Joshua, he himself, had built and set up with human hands right there in the middle of the Jordan. I know it's not recorded, but I feel certain, I believe with all my heart, that Joshua stood there on the banks and he watched the water of the Jordan River rushing back in there for all over the dry land and then covering those stones that he no longer saw. Only God knew where they were then. And I think about that and I say, oh Lord, you know, this is such a wonderful moment for them. And you know, there's a reason why Joshua did that. And more on that in a minute though. Let's look at verse 19. And now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month. So that would be the harvest time, you know, March and April. And they camped in Gilgal on the east border of Jericho. So the same day that the Passover lamb was selected back all those years ago, 40 years ago, there in Egypt, when Moses took the children of Israel out by the blood of the lamb. There they are on that same very night when they were preparing for Passover. Remember, 4 days later, which would be the 14th of Nisan, or that particular month, is when they kill the lamb, which represents, of course, our Lord, the Lamb of God. So for 40 years, they were wandering there in the wilderness. And you know what? Now the Jordan has overflowed its banks. It's washed away their past. It's washed away all of it. You see, we'll learn in chapter 5 that the word Gilgal means rolling. And that God will say in Gilgal, he'll say to Joshua, I have rolled away the reproach of Israel. They've crossed over into their inheritance, and now they're ready to fight for the new land. And those 12 stones which they took out of the Jordan, Joshua set them up in Gilgal. Remember, a reminder for all of them to see there, a memorial. And then he spoke to the children of Israel, saying, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, well, Israel crossed over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed over. Now, what is God saying? He's saying, you need to, when your kiddos ask you, boy, you need to tell them. Parents need to teach their children. You know, don't neglect that. You only have so long to be with your kids. And then they're going to grow up, and then they're going to think they know everything by the time they're 5, okay? You know? Look at verse 24. He says, and then when he dried everything up and you've crossed over, that all the peoples of the earth, not just a few, no, everyone, all peoples of the earth may know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty. In other words, he's all powerful, and that you may fear the Lord your God for how long? Forever. So the children of Israel, they're now 2 miles, about 2 miles, I guess, they're from Jericho. And the first thing they did was set up guard posts all around. No, the first thing they did was to set up a memorial. That's what Joshua did. He put all those stones up. He built that memorial. Now they're going to spend their first night in the land of promise. And right in their midst is going to be the memorial that Joshua built. Why? You know, God again gives them a visual. Do you think some of them were now worried we can't get back? We can't go back across? You know what? Once you've crossed the Jordan, you can't go back. Amen? There's no way to get back. And, you know, we need to remember that too. You know, no one is fit for the kingdom of God that looks back, Jesus said. No, we're not looking back. We're looking forward. We're moving ahead. And so God gave him this faith builder, if you will, this visual to say, you know, remember what I just did. Remember what I done. Forever remember. Teach your children. So these memorial stones here, they were not only the duty of remembering, but they're also a warning about the danger of forgetting. Now, I read that story about, you know, God raising the waters of the Jordan River up as a heap going all the way back 18, 20 miles to the city of Adam. I don't think I could ever forget that. Would you? No. And I say, Lord, how in the world, you know, would they ever forget anything like that? The children of Israel, I mean, that incredible miracle. But then, you know, we turn around and we see the miracles of God in our own life. And the provision, or maybe the healing, or maybe the word, or whatever you needed. And then next week we forget all about it, don't we? Come on, don't be religious tonight. We forget all about it. And we go, oh Lord, what am I going to do? How am I going to make it? And God says, you know what, you need to build yourself a memorial. That's what you need to do. You know, I remember years ago, I think it was 2002, you know, because I came to the Lord in the eighth month of the eighth day, and which eight is a number of a new beginning. And I remember the Lord told me, I want you to go back to the very spot that you received me into your heart. And I called the gentleman who led me to the Lord, and I said, I'm flying down to Florida. I said, would you come with me? I said, I'm going to go build a memorial. And I'm going to build it for the Lord. So for me, that I will never forget what God has done in my life. So on the eighth day, there in the eighth month, I stood there on the sands of Jacksonville Beach in Jacksonville, Florida, and knelt down and rededicated my life to Jesus Christ. And then he did the same thing. We've never forgotten that day. We spoke about it just recently, about the day that we built a memorial. To remember all the things that God has done for us. Oh, don't ever forget the good things God has done. You know, how we must remember those things. Now, look back with me to verse 9. It says, and then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, okay? And in the exact place where the priest stood and so forth. Do you think that... there in verse 9, do you think that was an emotional moment for him? It had to have been. I'm talking about a super emotional moment for Joshua. I mean, he probably looked there in the distance and he knew that what he was doing, and he did it for building a memorial, like I was telling you about when I was at the beach. I'm never going to forget this. And I know that he had to look off in the distance and see Mount Nebo. You know, that's where the Moses that he loved so dearly, where God buried him. He had to remember, you know, because he was born a slave in Egypt. He served all of his life there as a slave and then came out. He was Moses' assistant and went up. He was on the mount with Moses, remember, halfway up waiting for him to come down. Joshua was a great man. And all of his, he was just thanking God. I build this for you. I build it for me. I never will ever, ever, ever forget this day. What? The 12 stones of Gilgal and the 12 stones in the River Jordan. What do they really mean? What do these stones mean? Well, they're, no doubt they're a picture of the death and resurrection, if you will, if we look in a New Testament way, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But it's something that pertains to us as well. You know, the stones in the Jordan, they're going to be buried in a watery grave. Amen? And they're never going to be seen. They're going to be covered completely up. But it doesn't necessarily speak so much of, say, our water baptism as it does our identification that we have with our Lord and Savior. You see, that is a picture, actually. See, the Jordan, when you cross over, you're born again. You follow me? It's a whole new world. It's a whole new day. It's a whole new beginning. So what happens when we cross over? It's a picture of our old life. We're no longer wandering in the world or 40 years like the children of Israel. We're not with the old man. Oh no, the old life is gone. It's a new day. It's a new time. It's a brand new beginning. All of our past failures are buried in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. It's a new beginning, and it's also a new identity that we have in Christ. Turn with me, and let's make some application to this now. Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1. Romans chapter 6 in the New Testament, beginning in verse 1. Paul says this. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Well, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know? Verse 3, look at it now. Do you not know? I pray you know tonight. Do you not know that as many of us as were immersed or baptized into, literally means to be made with or in union, into Christ Jesus, were baptized or literally immersed into his death, meaning his death became our death and so forth. Now, if you just do a little homework, let me just read this to you. The Greek word baptizo here, it means here from, let me take it right from the concordance. It means you have been placed into a new environment, into a new union as to alter its condition or its relationship from the previous condition. Are you following me? Okay, now let me read it from my Greek study Bible here. It says, babto or baptizo. The clearest example that shows the meaning of baptizo is a text from the Greek poet and physician Nicander, who lived about 200 BC. Now listen carefully. Talking about that word baptized, that word immersed, talking about our identity in Christ, talking about the old man now buried out there in the Jordan. Can't see him. He's gone. We reckon him dead. Amen? Now listen carefully. Nicander said this. It's a recipe for making pickles. Everyone say pickles. Pickles. It's a recipe for making pickles and is helpful because he uses both words. Now, Nicander says, in order to make a pickle, the vegetable should be first babto, or dipped, into boiling water, and then baptizo, or baptized, in the vinegar solution. Both verbs concern the immersing of vegetables in a solution. Now listen carefully. The babto, the dipping, the first one is only temporary. The second, baptizo, the second, the act of baptizing the vegetable produces a permanent change. What does it become? A pickle. You can't get back to being, if once you're a pickle, you're a pickle. Do you understand? No. Oh, listen. No. Listen to me. That's your position. You're not really a pickle, but you know what I'm saying. Your position in Christ, you've been, that means not babto, but baptizo. Your position has been permanently changed, permanently altered. Why? You've been baptized into Christ. In other words, not in the water, into his death. His life now becomes your life. Amen. Oh, church, listen, your condition has been permanently altered and cannot be changed if you're truly born again. Listen, you're just a pickle for Jesus, okay? And I look at that and I say, oh, Lord, we've been placed in union with Christ. It says in Galatians 3:27, for as many of you were baptizo, or baptized, immersed into Christ, have put on Christ. In other words, you're just dripping wet with Jesus. Not talking about the water, but into his death, in union with him, in identity with him. It says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, it says, by one spirit, talking about the new birth, by one spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, we've all been made to drink into one spirit. So that's what the stones there meant in the Jordan. Now, the stones at Gilgal. Well, Jordan speaks of death, but Gilgal speaks of living, resurrection. Amen? So that's what this speaks of here. In other words, not the old man, but the new man. Look at verse 4. It says, therefore we were buried with, not in, but with. That's important. When Jesus was buried, we were buried, in other words. It says we were buried with him. How? Through baptism into Christ's death, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should be walking, what? In a newness of life. You know what? We're no longer dead in trespasses and sins. We're no longer in Adam. We're no longer in the Adam's family, as you hear me say so often. No, we're now in Christ. Now listen, here's the thing that we need to remember and we forget. When we come to Christ, we have received life. Life that we have never had before. Jesus, we're in union with the Lord. Living with the Lord, drawing strength from the Lord. Colossians 1:27, Christ in me, the hope of glory. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation, behold, old things are passed away, and all things become new. Listen, when he died, we died. When Jesus was raised, we were raised. That's our position. When Christ ascended, it says in Ephesians 2:6 that we are now seated with Christ in heavenly places. Amen. That is our position in Christ. That's who we are. You know what? We've been permanently altered. We see, we are the new creation. We've been changed. We walk in that newness of life that no one else can have. Church, I don't know how you feel about all that tonight, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no other way to walk except in that newness and in that freshness when the Lord God is our strength. I pray you look unto him this week. I pray that you know who you are, that you know who you are in Christ, in Christ. You know, we can't save ourselves. Have you ever, you know what I'm saying? You can't even be good enough to save yourself, and neither can I. We've all broken the law. Amen. Has anyone here tonight kept the whole law? Anyone kept just the Ten Commandments? Hello? Anybody ever lied? Oh. You just did. Father, tonight, all the activities from today, we just leave at your feet. We're going to leave this chapel tonight, Lord, and we're going to journey home safely as you protect us. And Lord, we're going to just know our true position in Christ. That we've been permanently altered. We're saved. And Lord, we're going to wake up in the morning by your mercy and grace, knowing that you had been all with us all night long, because you never sleep, you never slumber. Knowing that all the problems that we're going to face tomorrow, maybe throughout the week, you already know about each and every one. And you, Lord, I know by the Spirit, are encouraging us to trust your promises. The spoken, living Word of God. Lord, there are people that are here tonight, the ones that you love, the sheep of your pasture. They, some of them, need a visual from you. Lord, they need you to increase their faith. They need to know that they're going in the right direction, or they're doing the right thing, or they're walking the right way. And that, Lord, they just need something in the midst of their battle or the circumstance that says, here, look here. And where their faith just goes, oh Lord, thank you for showing me that. Oh God, I pray tonight, you, oh God, as Job said in Job 35:10, Father, he who gives songs in the night. I pray, Father, that you would give your people a new song and that they would sing it. I pray tonight that they would hear your voice as you rejoice over them. I pray tonight, Father, that you would manifest yourself not only, Lord, to them tonight, but in their home place, in their workplace, in just the simple days in and out, the things that we face, that you would manifest yourself to them. Now, Lord, bless them and keep them this week. And we love you with all of our heart tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, shall we?